Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. But it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about virginity. We've been talking about chastity and sexual purity, and now I want to raise an extremely painful and difficult question, that of revealing one's past. I'm not sure that I have the answer to this. In fact, I'm quite sure that I don't have a final answer. But it's a question that I cannot evade because a number of people have written to me about their problems along this line. I had a letter from a woman who had never allowed a boy to touch her through high school or college because she said I was afraid I would lose something that I wanted to share with my husband alone, exclusively. They became engaged. He's a bright Christian, has a strong character. He's very mature, she said. My family loves him. But last week he told me that he had traded his purity at 16 for an opportunity to satisfy his curiosity, to try sex. This has devastated me. When he touches me, I feel him touching her. I hear him telling her what he whispers to me. I'm tormented. I know he stands forgiven in God's sight, and I have forgiven him, but in my heart, I cry. I kept myself pure. Why couldn't you? I wonder how I can express my love to him as a wife without the thought of her who was not his wife. I feel empty, broken, robbed. Days are better, but thoughts come crushing. I reflect on God's goodness, and I pray, but the nights are unbearable. I toss and turn, taunted by the unknown, restless and plagued by nightmares. I know his experience caused him nothing but anguish in the years which followed, and the memory is repulsive to him. My head is full of questions I dare not ask. My subconscious and imagination take turns all night filling in details. What am I to do? How do I forget? Please counsel me. I meditate on scripture, and I am brought to tears. I try to read, and I cannot see the page. I pray, and I can't utter a word. It's not just the women who feel this way, either. I had a man come to talk to me, and he told me that he had just learned 3 days ago that his fiancée was not a virgin, and he said, I have been crying for 3 days. I had another letter, even more recently, from a woman who has been married for a number of years. She said she has a very happy marriage. Her husband is a Christian. They have a little child. She says we get along wonderfully well. But she said she learned during their engagement that he had given away his virginity to somebody else. Will the hurt ever end? Should I let him know that it still hurts me? What is it really that hurts? My pride? I guess I find myself getting bitter and angry about it and wondering, what was the use of saving myself for my husband? You see, these two women have almost exactly the same feelings. Why did I save myself for my husband? Even though I don't watch much TV, there's still some commercials dealing with premarital sex that bring back these thoughts. And she goes on to tell me again how happy the family is, but she says, I can't seem to get rid of this emotion over this issue. You'd think, after blank years of happy marriage and the sweetest child, that I'd have forgotten. I've probably said too much. What insights do you have concerning this? I know that the word is the sword of the Spirit. Can you help me to sharpen my use of these truths? Well, let me read from Romans 6. I read a little bit of it yesterday. I'm going to reread those verses. Here's some more of what that chapter says. You belong to the power which you choose to obey, whether you choose sin, whose reward is death, or God, obedience to whom means the reward of righteousness. Thank God that you, who were at one time the servants of sin, honestly responded to the impact of Christ's teaching when you came under its influence. Then, released from the service of sin, you entered the service of righteousness. In the past, you voluntarily gave your bodies to the service of vice and wickedness for the purpose of becoming wicked. So now give yourselves to the service of righteousness for the purpose of becoming really good. For when you were employed by sin, you owed no duty to righteousness. Yet what sort of harvest did you reap from those things that today you blush to remember? In the long run, those things mean one thing only, death. But now that you are employed by God, you owe no duty to sin, and you reap the fruit of being made righteous, while at the end of the road, there is life forevermore. Now, I want to point out that in both cases, these women are married to men who were indeed, at one time, the servants of death, the servants of unrighteousness, as we all were. Let's never forget that. So, Paul is speaking to the Roman Christians. They were people who had sinned in all kinds of ways, I suppose every possible way. And yet he's saying, now you have made a new choice, you have followed a new master, you are no longer the slaves to sin, you don't owe any debt whatsoever to sin, and now you can reap the fruit of being made righteous. All I can say to these women is, you must accept your husband's repentance. It no longer matters what his past included. Is there any of us who could possibly claim that we have no dark blots in our past? I think of a gospel song that was popular when I was a high school student, and I still remember the words, "My yesterday so dark with shame, he has forgiven. Oh, praise his name, my sins are gone. Thank God for peace at last. The blood of Jesus covers all the past." What does the Bible say? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from most sins, all but the worst sins, everything but sexual sin. That's not what the Bible says. It says the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all, A-L-L, all sin. I understand the pain that these women feel in learning that their husbands were not virgins. I saved myself for Jim Elliot. It was a thrill to me that he had saved himself for me. I understand the pain. I also understand that Satan would love to keep these women in bondage and continually throw up to them, to their memory, the blots on their husbands' pasts, forgetting that the same blood that cleansed the wife is the effective blood that cleansed the husband. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new act of creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. So when these thoughts come crushing and you lie awake at night, I would say, lift up those thoughts to God. Perhaps lift up your hands in a literal physical sense with the thoughts placed in your imagination in your hands and say, Lord, here they are. Take them. In the name of Jesus, remove from me these plaguing thoughts and help me to accept for my husband the same forgiveness that I have accepted for myself. Blot out of my thoughts and my memory these things that Satan would like to keep me in bondage to. I have no neat tricks. I have only the Word of God to give you. Love is to will another's good. That's a good watchword for all who are married, as well as all of us. But love is to will another's good. God loves your husband. God wills his good. If you love God, you will his will. If you love your husband, you will his good. Therefore, since God's will is your husband's good, you must set yourself to love him in God's way. Remember that the price has been completely paid. The price of the sorrow and the heartbreak and the sense of irremediable loss, the hurt that you feel because of another woman's having stolen something that properly belonged only to the man's wife, the man having squandered what should have been yours exclusively. These are sins, of course. These are things for which Jesus Christ died. What does the cross mean, if not absolute relinquishment of all sin and sorrow and suffering? It's the laying down of your life for your husband. Your dream of the perfect man has got to go. He doesn't exist. It's this man that God has given you, another sinner, there isn't anything else to marry, and it is this gift that you receive in thanksgiving, acknowledging the fact that in this fallen and broken world, there is no place where your heart may be perfectly at rest and wholly filled except at the spring of living water. I would say to you, dear women, drink there. Drink of that spring and be at peace.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.